the library's third annual Martin Luther King Day for us at the libraries. It's Martin Luther King Week, actually, activities. And we have today a speaker who is Professor Wahleen Dodson, Religious Studies, here from Michigan State University. And she will be introducing our musical guests. The musical guests will play, Professor Dodson will speak, and then our performers will finish up the program for us. When they're done, that's when we will pick up the video recording where we left off. Okay, thank you, Professor Dodson.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. I didn't know whether or not you had voices. How are you? Are you great? Fine. I hear one fine, one great. The rest of you are just falling out from frozenness, right? I understand. My name is Wahleen Dodson, and indeed I am on faculty here at Michigan State University. I am professor in the Department of Religious Studies, as well as in the graduate program in African American and African Studies. You are very special this afternoon. I don't know if you know it or not, but you are. You're special because we have two musicians who are going to play for you, for you. For you. And these two musicians, first of all, are Michigan bred, I believe, if not born, both of them. So they've come straight from this state. And on top of that, they are accomplished musicians, particularly within the jazz genre. One is a bassist, the other is a tenor saxophonist. Rodney Whitaker is the bassist, and he is a very, very well-known, very accomplished jazz bassist, as well as composer. In addition to that, he directs the jazz program here at Michigan State University. And if you're not aware of it, you should become aware, and if you don't become aware, you will become aware, because this jazz program is going to make big statements in the field of music education in this country. It is just that good. And Rodney Whitaker is the director of that jazz program. In addition, we have Diego Rivera, who is a tenor saxophonist, and he too is very well accomplished. He is a composer arranger. If you didn't know it, you may also see Diego and a small group on Tuesday evenings over at Harper's in a much more informal kind of a setting. But the point is, you are very fortunate to have two of Michigan's finest jazz musicians play for you this afternoon. They're going to play, first off, a song called Resolutions. This comes from, and it just left me, Rodney. It comes from Love Supreme. Sorry. It comes from A Love Supreme by John Coltrane. This is Rodney Whitaker on bass, Diego Rivera on tenor saxophone playing. Oh, you're playing soprano today. All right, he flipped on me. He's playing soprano sax today. And they're playing Resolutions from Love Supreme by John Coltrane.
So you can pick us up for recording.
Okay, get closer.
resolutions.
Well, I have a few words that I've been asked to speak to you about. And first of all, I'd like to thank you all for coming and being here. And then what I really want to say to you or speak with you or ask you to think about, I think that's the best way to put it, what I want to ask you to think about today is in the same vein of Martin Luther King, and not so much him as a man, but the kind of principles and issues that he stood for. And I know what the video says, because I've seen it at least 1,000 times like all of you have. And all of those are very good things as well, very good ideas and things we should remember. But we're sitting in the middle of what is called the, I assume the Cesar Chavez, but it says Chavez Collection. And it seems to me that even as I lift Martin Luther King Jr. and what he stood for, I should make a connection to Cesar Chavez and what he stood for, as well as Martin Luther King. That's not regularly done when we decide to celebrate Martin. That is to say, we don't often think about Martin's principles beyond the African American community. And that's unfortunate. It's very, very unfortunate, because Martin not only stood for justice and inclusion beyond African American people, but he spoke about that. We don't receive much information in the way of public media regarding some of Martin's other speeches when he was entertaining and talking about and lifting out why it was so important for this country to bring everybody in so that we could be a country that really lives up to its ideals. We oftentimes are receiving information, seeing images, or hearing people talk about Martin and African American community. And that's true. That's very, very true. But it's true because our country, as we have struggled to become a nation of freedom and justice, we have come through phases, and the most deeply embedded phase was that which discriminated in some very rigorous ways, some very awful and painful ways that put people of color, beginning with African Americans, put them behind. But just because it was a process, an institutional process of racism that began with African Americans, doesn't mean that we were the only ones. It doesn't mean, let me say it differently. If we forget that as a nation, we also have been responsible for excluding Asians from our country in some very negative ways, and I'm not speaking about the World War II internment of Japanese, but I'm talking about making laws and policies and regulations that said, if you are of Asian ancestry, you cannot come in the United States of America. If you are here and you are of that ancestry, then you have to stay back and be in the shadows as a second or third class citizen. We have also, in our country, and these are things I'm not saying to you to make us feel guilty. I'm saying them to you for two reasons. One, because many of you are young enough that you have no idea these things happened. And then others of you may not remember that these things happened. But this is the legacy of our country. And if we're going to get beyond it to bring everybody in who's a citizen of our nation, and to make sure that their ideas are represented when we make decisions, then we can't forget where we've come from. We must remember. And Martin, if we only focus on Martin King for African Americans, we're forgetting part of the picture. And part of the picture is discrimination not merely against African Americans, but Asian Americans. But we must keep in mind that our citizens, our friends and family members perhaps, who are of Spanish language background, who are Latino or Chicano, they too have been excluded, were excluded from many of the privileges and positions of our nation, excluded in some harsh, harsh ways. Now you might ask, what about Native Americans? Oh yes. Are you following the picture I'm trying to paint here? That indeed Martin stood for African Americans, but the most important thing is that as he began to move through the country and to expose himself to what we were as a nation, he began to take a position that said, no, one person who experiences racism equals a nation of racism. If we're going to eliminate racism, we have to get rid of the whole thing. And everybody has to participate. And you begin with yourself by eradicating it out of you, and then challenging those who want to continue in that line, who want to perpetuate privileges based on false criteria. Martin was very clear about that. There was a speech he gave in New York City at Riverside Church, and that speech is rarely ever put into public conversation. I contend, and I could be wrong, or maybe I'm just, you know, one of these old radicals, I don't know, or a young radical, or maybe I'm just cuckoo, I don't know. But when I read that speech, politically, I think it's not made public very much, because he's not merely speaking about African Americans, and he's also taking a position with regard to the country, because that was the time of the Vietnam War, if you'll remember. Now, we are just coming out of, or maybe we're not out of, another war in the Middle East. And I think if Martin were here, he might have begun where he left off at the Riverside speech. And it was in that speech when he was speaking quite concretely to the necessity of our country, a nation that was built on ideas of democracy. And when we defined democracy, we said it included everybody. Those were the words. Now, it took us almost 300 years to begin to even slide many other communities into, quote, the democracy. But we talked about democracy. And since we told the world that we were going to be an inclusive democracy, where all people were created equal and everybody has an opportunity for freedom, since we told the world that, if Martin were here, he would say, then we've got to start practicing. That's what he was saying when he was alive. He began with the African American community because it was that community that was here in this land space, even as white Europeans were here, even as Native Americans were pushed off of their land and put into reservations. It was the African American community and the European American community that was, quote, building the United States. But even in the building process, it was not democratic, because the country made laws, built a constitution, and created states with their own regulations that said, if you're of African ancestry, no, you don't belong. Benjamin Franklin said it, Thomas Jefferson said it. They said it, all of them. If you're an African, no. And that was the pattern that was laid down very concretely. We had encounters with Mexico, and there were Mexican citizens living in places we now call New Mexico and Arizona, parts of California into Colorado. They were living there in their country. We had an encounter with Mexico and created Texas and pushed Mexico back. And then we told those of Mexican ancestry, no, you will not become an equal partner in our democracy. Do you follow me? And then we passed the Asian exclusionary laws, where we said, Asian people, if you're of Asian ancestry, no, you will not become a part of our democracy. If we know these things about ourselves, and if we assume the position that Martin did, that in order for us to become all that we say our country is, we must include everyone, if we take that position, then we can start someplace. And this whole holiday season, this celebration of Martin's life, is more than the I have a dream of a little black girl and a little white girl.
holding hands. We're bigger than black and white as a nation. We have more to offer the world if we live up to our democracy. So my words today, as we sit in the Chavez Collection, is to say, yes, please let's remember Martin Luther King. But more importantly, let's reflect on our own lives and start making the internal changes and challenging our friends and colleagues that they too make changes, that our country becomes an inclusive place of justice and democracy, as we claim in our rhetoric, so that it becomes a lived rhetoric and not something we bring out every once in a while to make ourselves feel good. Thank you. I want to ask the musicians to come back, but they didn't tell me what they were going to play this time. Bye. Okay, this is a Charlie Parker tune entitled, Now is the Time. That sounds kind of appropriate in terms of what I've tried to suggest. Rodney Whittaker, Diego Rivera. Thank you.
this concludes this part of the program for this year. I want to thank Professor Wallene Dodson, Religious Studies. Thank you very much. Thank you. Rodney Whitaker, Director of Jazz Studies. And Diego Rivera, who's the saxophone instructor for Jazz Studies as well. The videos that you've been seeing here through this week and the tail end of last week are available in the audiovisual library on the fourth floor. We do have a collection on ethnic studies. So for those who are interested in materials in addition to African American studies, in particular Martin Luther King for this week, we also have Chicano studies, Native American studies, Asian American studies, and the groups that go within those ethnic study categories. Thank you again. For those who came to see the video, we're going to pick up where we left off. And then after that's completed, we will do one more loop. Okay, thank you very much.